Welcome to Jack of No Trades, a very special edition of Jack of No Trades, which means I get to intro the podcast, something that was decided about 8 seconds ago. So I am Joe. I'm a frequent visitor of this podcast, and I would like to welcome in Tay and Ben. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
What is up?
Thank you for introducing us on our own show.
You're welcome.
We appreciate this.
You're welcome. I'm taking over the reins here at the first just because today is a very special podcast. Do you have any idea what number of podcasts you guys are on?
Tay?
I think this
numbers guy.
I think this is 42.
That is correct. That is correct. Boom. What's special about 42?
It's the retired number in baseball.
The only
Jackie
one.
Jackie Robinson.
That is a better answer than I thought. I actually thought it was your 50th episode. So when I said I was going to start this off, that was. So, I mean, maybe I'll come back in 8 more weeks and we'll do a special 50th episode. But
but our first episode was in June, wasn't it, Tay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we almost have done 52 in a year, and we're in May. We still got a
That's
month.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, you guys are putting out a good pace. When you started your podcast nearly a year ago, what did you expect to happen?
Nothing. My expectation was we really didn't have anything. We didn't have a good direction. We just wanted to do it just to see what it'd be like. And if we lasted like more than a month, that would have been beyond my wildest dreams. I don't know. What about you, Tay?
Yeah, I remember back in the planning stages, we were just stoked. Like, the idea of being on iTunes was like crazy to us. Wouldn't you say, Ben? We're like,
That was the big
we're
time.
Like, we're never going to be on iTunes. And it turns out it's super easy and they take anybody. But we didn't know that at the time.
Right. And the best part is that, like, I've only been listening to podcasts for like 2.5 years, and I've been podcasting for like a year. So, like, it's not like I've been listening to podcasts for a long time and finally got the courage. It's just, we just did it. We started listening. We're like, yeah, we can do this shit. Who can't?
I want to tell the genesis of this story. No joke. Tay came into my office one day and he's like, have you ever heard of a podcast? And this was like late 2015. And I looked at him, I'm like, yeah, I have. Have you heard about a blog? And he's like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, you're about 6 years behind the times. And then you guys just took off and it's been pretty good. Have you listened to any of your old podcasts since they went up? Like, have you gone back and listened to like the June, July ones?
I listened to Taken 4 when I wrote Taken Christmas.
Same. I was going to say Taken 4 is probably the closest I've been back. Mm.
I just want to say that I have listened to them, but I haven't gone back and listened to any in the past. The audio quality alone has come leaps and bounds. It's amazing from the first couple that were so quiet and all over the place to where you guys are now. It's sounding really good. And I've told you this off air, but I'm actually quite impressed with the way you guys run an interview, especially Ben, who tends to, you know, be the one guiding the discussion along. You guys do a really good job for being extremely novices.
Amateur.
Yeah, very amateur. You guys do a good job.
Boom.
So.
Thank you. That's high praise.
Good.
Joe works in sports, so he's around media types. So he that means something coming from him. We appreciate that.
I am not in media, so I just am around those types.
So it's coming from a guy that has been on the radio, has been on TV, you're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a minor local celebrity. So I suppose, you know, you folks may know me. So.
Well, I have to echo you from the sound quality, and that's been 100% Tay.
Yeah.
Tay does all our editing. He's fixed some of our biggest problems. We've had some real shitty sound quality episodes. Specifically the Morris one back in like July, where we did a movies podcast, and it's like echoey and scratchy and shitty, and that was like way better than what it could have been even back then. So Tay, nice job, bud. You've kept this thing rolling.
Kudos to you.
Thank you. I enjoy the audio editing. It's fun. It's been a new skill to pick up. It's good.
Good. I have a couple of questions for you guys just to kind of bring all of our listeners up to speed. And this is mostly for the six or seven of us that are reoccurring guests. Are we or are we not supposed to tell people where we live? I was under... let me ask.
Ooh, interesting.
I was under the impression when I first started that we were just going to be these anonymous voices and kind of every man, you know, so we could have been anywhere. And so I have refused to kind of put descriptors out there where we live. However, some of the other guests are really specific and they're like giving out addresses. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. T-Car last week.
He's self-promoting though. That asshole. He has to get his info out to anywhere and everywhere. So that's on him.
No, it was funny, but I mean, you know, sometimes people will be like, "Oh, I was taking the name of the train system around here."
Right.
Or
I remember that
I ate at this place, and I am in my car listening, and I kind of cringe. I'm like, "Oh, people are going to find out where some of us live." I guess it's no secret since the only listeners are our friends and family, right? Or are they? Who's the audience that's listening now?
Japanese Japan. People.
A lot of Japanese people. Are you paying for those, Tay?
No, basically exclusive Japanese listeners the past few weeks. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, they've stuck with it.
Big in Japan, huh?
And my wife, who always listens to each episode about 6 months after it airs. So,
well, that's correct.
She heard her first one about 3 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is a great question. So when we started, we didn't want to tie any of this to our personal lives for personal reasons. We have family and extended family that would judge us profusely if they heard our language.
Oh, you know what? That's coming up. I have notes on that. But anyways, keep on going.
And professionally, you know, we are trying to, we're young, so we're young professionals. So we didn't want, people going and listening to some of the outlandish, humorous, you know, joking, but humorous bad things we may say on this podcast.
Correct.
And hold that against us. So that was part of it. I recently moved to Chicago, but Chicago is such a big city for me. It's like, I can throw that out there. Whereas you guys live in a more small,
conservative,
specific,
conservative red state.
We're in a very red state. Maybe the reddest.
With a very unique demographic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know about you, Tay. What do you feel? I was the one that was harder about not connecting our personal lives to the podcast.
Yeah,
but it's getting murkier and murkier.
It's kind of murky. I mean, it's pretty obvious now where we live. that's right. We started this podcast in Utah.
Oh, my gosh. Are you guys Mormon?
Are you?
That's a good question.
Is that a question Joe has later?
No, it's not. But I'd love to do a Mormon podcast sometime. Not about, but just about your beliefs. But here we go. Let's keep on going.
Keep it rolling.
But, yeah, I think we've realized, I think we've gotten less worried about it over time.
Yeah.
I'm still worried about it. Oh, I'm very worried about it. We've dropped a hard N on this podcast.
When did we
dropped
an
N word? A
hard J. Yeah, you did.
But off the rails.
Yeah, but you used it in an appropriate way.
Yeah, we didn't use it.
It was in good taste.
Yeah. Well, it's not in good taste. but it's an adult thing to do if you're talking about it rather than skirting around the issue. You can say that word, but if you're saying it in any other type of way, you should not. And you guys were okay at that time.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there was any like tone or anything, you know. Anyway,
I just asked.
That's the reasoning why, the way it's been.
Well, and then I say I'm so worried about where, you know, we're not supposed to say where we live and who we are. And then I had you guys retweet me on Twitter when I had some concert pictures to put up. And I think I'm the only person who's ever promoted my appearance on this podcast that I'm aware of. So I guess I'm not really keeping it much of a secret either.
Besides Hannah. Hannah's promoted us
good.
Too.
Thanks, Hannah.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. So we
Hannah and I had a spat a while ago. So I'm I just want to.
She still holds a grudge against you about that.
Yeah, it's a little salty.
I know. She shouldn't. We'll take that up, you know, her and I on another occasion. Or maybe on the podcast, we'll battle it out.
Hey.
All right. Well,
keep going. Sorry. You're good.
What do you want to say about Hannah?
Oh, I was going to say, she has a much more successful podcast. So we try and take tips from her as far as trying to gain listeners. She's actually made money off of her. So kudos to Hannah.
Yes. Now, when you started, Taylor's goal was to get a few sponsors just so that he could, you know, pay for the cost of the hosting. Have you found any sponsors yet?
Not yet. We need to grow our listenership a little bit.
Okay. Okay. I'm in for $20 if you ever need. I'll just give you a read every week that you have to read about, I don't know, my Twitter feed or something.
Yes. And we definitely will do that.
You read about my Twitter feed, and then you can, because that's really all I have to promote. And then you can put a Sherry's Berries on there. So.
Sherry's
Berries. I love your Twitter presence, by the way.
Sherry's Berries.
Zip Recruiter. We just say all the ads like Bill Burr does on his podcast. That's the problem. Yeah. We'd be just copywriting him. Which, can I just share my biggest moment of my life this week that ever happened?
Sure.
While we're here talking about sponsors and Bill Burr. Bill Burr.
Oh, yeah. I know about
one
this.
Of my tweets.
He did. I can
on his
this.
Podcast.
Yes.
I was very excited. And he said it was a great idea.
Yeah. No. He didn't even just read one of your tweets because he was reading a bunch. He was like going through his feed. He didn't just read it. He actually read it and then kind of freaked out about it and like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. He was just, it was fantastic. And then kind of diverted for a little bit and talked about your idea. So that was, kudos to you. That's the most, there's 15 seconds of fame right there.
Big moment for me because Bill Burr is the guy. If you haven't listened to him, he tells it how it is, and he's so funny. So Joe turned us on to Bill Burr. So thank you, Bill, Joe, for that.
Yeah,
you indirectly made that happen.
Yeah. I'll take full credit for it.
Sometimes doctors kiss.
No, they don't. All right. Okay. Well, I've got a few more notes about the history of the podcast. No, when I say notes, I'm saying things in my head. So Ben's language since he moved to Chicago, I just want to point it out, it's gotten very crass since you've moved to the big city.
That's true. It has gotten worse.
If I had more time and was pretty pathetic in my life, which I'm very close to anyways, I might chart the use of profanity in this podcast. And the introduction of the big F word came, you know, after Ben had been in Chicago a couple months, and now it just flows freely. I feel kind of a little bit pressured to bring it up a couple times. So
okay, you're right. Yes, I think it's. I don't have a good reason. It's just funny sometimes. I think it's funny, and when you say it in the right context, it can be funny. So it doesn't always land, but the hardest I've ever laughed is when somebody said the F word. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will maybe clean it up. I might not. I try not to, but sometimes it just happens. And for the record, Taylor has said the F word about 6,000 times more than I have in my life.
That's correct.
If you can believe it.
I don't want this to come across as I'm judging you or I'm some sort of prude. I would like to think that I'm not, but I probably am. I want to have a Mormon podcast with you guys. So anyway, no, just kidding. I think it's just a notice I had. What is your favorite podcast you've done so far? Each one of them.
That's a great question. Tay, you go first.
Oh, man. I think just when we get everybody in person in the studio, I love those. We've done a couple. We've done a few of them. The off the rail segments, the taken ones. Those are a blast just because most of the time we do this remotely, and it's just you get a different energy when the person's actually in the room with you.
Yeah, the taken ones are great. That last one we did, A Very Taken Christmas, which didn't get as many listeners as I thought it would actually, was so much fun. I just had a blast doing that. Joe, I love spitballing with you about bands and shit. That's always fun. The Sunny one was a great one for me. It's hard because I really at the time I think I enjoy everything we've done.
That's good.
But my favorite segments are probably the taken ones we've done together and off the rails. Those usually are pretty interesting. So, yeah.
And your first off the rails was fantastic. Real, I mean, that set the bar way too high.
Yeah, that was a unique moment, I think.
Your third one, you could have used an edit button a little bit. We didn't need 18 hours of you guys rambling on about who knows what. But that's just my critique I'd like to throw out.
And just to our fans, we know, I think there's a couple that we phoned it in. We're like, we just got to get an episode out. We got to keep our schedule.
Are you talking about the Harry Potter one? I mean,
definitely the Harry Potter one. In.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys what actually happened. We had a girl on to the pod who is a big Harry Potter fan, but she completely choked when she got on the microphone. And so we decided we couldn't use it because it was just not good. And so then we ended up cutting half the episode, and it was brutal.
which don't feel bad if you're listening to this. I had a big portion of one of my, in fact, my very first episode, I think, had about 20 minutes cut. So it happens to the best of us. What is the future of this podcast? Where do you think you guys are going to be next year at this time?
This is a great question. So we have had a real consistent churning of podcasts. We've really shot to get about one a week done. We realized with the way our lives are and the content that we're creating that we've done pretty good, you know, minus a few Harry Potter episodes and some other duds along the way, which we know they're not all home runs. We want to switch to being more of a bi-weekly podcast. So a podcast once every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Going forward, and we want to bump up the listener count. We want to double. So we don't have huge ambitions as far as listeners go, but I think we could reach out to more and get a little more traction as far as our like Twitter interactions, our emails, make this a little more interactive. We just haven't put a lot of effort into it, and that's mostly my fault because I'm kind of more in charge of that. So that's kind of what I envision. I don't know about you, Tay.
I think we want to expand our guest roster too. We want to start. Mm-hmm. We want to start interviewing people we may not know as well, or maybe have their own podcasts and kind of just, you know, get some more collaboration going in that direction. So expect some new guests in the future, because I think this works the best when we have a dynamic guest on. So we're gonna keep finding dynamic people for your listening pleasure.
But that's not to knock our consistent contributors.
Exactly.
Because we expect to keep you guys around.
There's nothing like
a good run, Joe.
Yeah,
this is your exit interview.
Appreciate you having me on. is the makeup episode still your highest rated episode?
It is not. It's the Super Bowls of Life.
Oh, wow.
Right. Surprise, surprise.
Wow.
That one I didn't think was nearly as strong, but it just, I guess, came out at the right time, or maybe the guest was the difference. We don't know.
Fantastic.
That was interesting.
And then I have one more question that I think every listener of this podcast wants to know. Will there be any more Takens?
Oh, there's one person that definitely doesn't want to know this, and his name's Tyler.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Have we seen the end of the Taken franchise?
I haven't finished it.
Okay.
There's still more story to tell. I don't think that Bo and Brian have settled their differences yet completely. I know that they're buddy cops at this point.
Cop buds!
I'd like to see them settle their differences with a kiss.
Yeah, so...
Just a little kiss. Or maybe a romantic... interlude.
Since we live in different states, it's hard. We like doing these in person, but expect some more Takens in the coming year.
Fantastic. Look forward to that. And then just on this, did you know there was a female Taken? Taken, The Search for Sophie Parker. It was a Lifetime movie. Yeah, I knew you guys weren't fans. That's what I thought.
Damn. Hey, Taylor, you watching the TV show? Because you're the real fan here. Taylor, you're the real, real Taken fan at this point.
I don't support the TV show. I don't think it's canon.
Okay. You're the last man on the hill. I've moved on to John Wick. Liam Neeson had a good run, it's now Keanu Reeves.
Much better movies, I'm gonna be honest, but I just love Taken so much, and we've created this rich universe and all this rich lore. So
rich. Wow, the liberties you take.
I mean, there is story left. Brian's story has yet to be fully told, but I mean, eventually you're going to hit the end. So
Yeah. It's going to have an ending. Don't worry.
Okay. I can't wait.
Okay.
It's not The Walking Dead.
Oh, gosh.
Brother. Speaking of bad TV, here's a transition for you. Ben, take it away.
And off we go. So this episode, besides the interview with the makers of this podcast, we're going into TV. I've heard this era, this age that we're in currently, as the golden age for television. I tend to agree, but I think that's just because I'm 20-ish and I listen and I'm watching TV right now. So of course what's great on TV is what I like. Joe, you got a little greater perspective. And this isn't an age knock on you.
No, but I noticed you emphasized the word gray in greater, so yeah. I've disclosed my age in a previous podcast, so that's fine.
How do you feel about TV today?
Honestly, it's an exciting time. And a lot of it just has to do not so much with the content, but the ability to get content and the ability to go back into history and to even recent history, a few months and start. TiVo and DVRs and streaming and all that kind of stuff has made even crappy TV enjoyable because you can get in, get out, and be done with it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you create and control the way you watch television, whereas I felt like everyone had to react to TV back in the day,
yeah.
Right?
My favorite era, and this is just in my lifetime, my favorite era of TV would probably be about 15 years ago, 16 years ago, when HBO became the best place for TV, when they were putting out The Sopranos and Curb Your Enthusiasm and Sex and the City, and all of a sudden people were trying new things off of network TV. Network TV had been such cookie cutter for so long. Mm-hmm. That was probably my favorite part, but that we still didn't have this instant gratification. So,
right. What about you, Tay? How are you feeling?
I have a feeling right now where I have too many shows to watch, and It's a good feeling to have. It's like people are like, "You watch this yet?" I'm like, "No, I'm watching this first," or "I'm watching this first." And it's just interesting. There's literally like a show for anyone, anyone and everyone right now, and there's just so much content being created. It's insane. I mean, not just television. I mean, even YouTube's putting out good shows these days. Like, there's a lot of good content on YouTube to watch.
Oh, yeah. The platforms are just growing and growing. I think about how it's changed my habits, and it's like we told that story on the Pokemon podcast where we had to go over to a friend's house to watch Pokemon at 3:30. You know, if we hadn't been at their house at 3:30, that episode would have aired, and we may have never seen it, and we wouldn't have any other way of going back to watch it unless we, you know, waited and saw it rerun. Today's kids, it's just all on Netflix, or it is YouTube, or it's Hulu, and they just go on, and they know where it is, they can watch it, they can go, and we're the same way. It's like, yeah, times, who cares when it comes out? You just know the day it comes out, whether it's Netflix, they all drop at the same time, or the day of the week if it's like a serialized show. And you just watch it online, or you watch it from your DVR.
Like, seriously, who's channel surfing these days?
I end up doing it every day. I never find anything.
Really?
Yes. Every day.
Oh, but you have cable, though.
Yeah, I do have cable, yeah.
We're cord cutters over here.
Oh, wow.
I am. I guess, Tay, you're technically not. Your situation would not be. You still have cable,
I do.
Yeah. Well, I think about that all the time when I'll watch, you know, there'll be a show that I'm into, and I'm waiting, you know. It's on Thursdays or something, and the DVR picks it up, and I watch it at my convenience. I think about how it's freed up my life. I mean, you used to be like, okay, Thursday night, got to sit down, watch Cosby Show, because just like you said, if I don't see it now, then I miss it, and I'm going to miss out on water cooler talk, you know, at elementary school or anything like that. I'm really...
Don't talk about Cosby and drinks. Yeah. It's just not good, okay?
I apologize.
Too soon, man. It's allegations.
Well, one thing I've noticed is but, that, I mean, like, the...
You could fall behind in a show very quickly and never be able to catch up.
Yeah,
you know,
no recovery.
Especially a drama. And so they were just pretty... That's why a lot of the dramas, I think, you know, were like cop shows or... like Murder, She Wrote, or I'm throwing out terrible examples.
Perry Mason.
I mean, they were,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, they were Hill Street Blues. I'm not even that old. Come on, guys. But they were shows that you could watch in a bubble. You know, there was a start, beginning, and end. And by the end, it would have resolved. There wasn't a, like, season arc. They were just kind of, they happened. And if you caught 20 of the 32 episodes, you were okay. You know, Baywatch was that way. Everything, you know, wrapped up. And now... where we can watch everything on our own time. you can have a 6-episode arc or a season arc that, you know, isn't resolved until the end or the next season, because everyone has that ability to catch up and tell a, so they have the ability to tell a better story kind of exists.
Hence why the cliffhanger is so crucial in television.
Yeah.
Because you got to make sure you kept people coming back. Do you feel like you enjoy your DVR instant access versus having to watch shows when they came out? Say it's a show you really liked back in the day. Do you feel like you get the same enjoyment?
Depends on the show. Depends on the show.
Okay.
Let me tell you, I'm going to bring an example that actually happened to the three of us. So The Walking Dead started, and the first season had been out, but season two had yet to begin. And so I watched the first season on disc when Netflix used to send out, you know, the DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. So then I started watching The Walking Dead Sunday to Sunday. No, you know, recorded it on the DVR, but still I was watching it a week apart. And when spoilers ahead if you haven't seen season two of The Walking Dead.
Oh, gosh. What season are we on? I don't watch.
Who knows? I dropped out long
ago. We're going on 8. The next one's 8.
Holy shit. Yeah, are you kidding me? And it sucks since 3. How are people still watching this show?
But anyways.
Sorry.
When Sophia? Is that her name?
Yeah.
When Sophia came out of that barn.
Oh, yeah.
And Rick shot her? It was... I mean, we were in shock.
Rick didn't even shoot her. She just came out.
Oh, yeah. He hadn't shot her yet. Yeah, she just came out, and you were freaking out.
She just comes out.
And then they went on hiatus for 3 months, 4 months, and we just freaked out for 3 or 4 months. Now, fast forward a little bit, and we're after season two, into season three, and Ben and another friend named Riley started watching The Walking Dead, and they were watching it from the first. And so they came to the Sophia episode, and were like, huh. And within 30 seconds, it started the next episode. And there was no cliffhanger. There was no months of suspense. There was no shock and, you know, letting it sit in your mind. And it was just over. They just moved on to the next episode. And so it didn't affect them in the way that it – I mean, I still talk about it as like, holy crap, I can't believe that. Oh, my God. You know, because I had months to brood over it while the people that streamed it after the fact just moved on.
Yeah, but I got mine later in Breaking Bad because I was late to Breaking Bad too. Yeah. And so I watched all through 4 and got to the part where Hank finds his book and realizes it's Walt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. And I go to watch the next one and I had to wait another like 6 months or 8 months or something. So You're right. You definitely lose some gravitas with the – with being able to binge through shit, you know? You don't have the weight. Yeah, I guess it just depends at this point. I don't know. I don't feel like binging shows... I don't know, Tate, what do you think? Do you think binging shows is better than having to sit out a week and mull things over usually, or...?
I think it depends on the type of show.
Because you're a binger. I know you binge shit quick. Yeah. You start a show, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Well, I'll start it too. And I'll watch 2 episodes, and in that like same week span, you're like, oh, yeah, I saw all 20. I'm done. I'm good.
I think with serialized shows where the season has a continuous story, I think personally it's better to watch week to week. I think the story's more impactful that way. Cause you kind of take it piece by piece. Like, Better Call Saul season 3 is on right now. I've watched that show from the beginning, week by week, and I enjoy thinking about what's gonna happen next week after I watch the episode. I don't think I'd like the show as much if I just binged it, you know.
Agreed.
So I think, but like, but with like comedies, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I think it's how the show is written. So let's take Stranger Things, for instance. It didn't matter if you binged it. Because
no spoilers, please.
Okay. Have you not seen Stranger Things?
I haven't seen it yet.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyways, Stranger Things was like a 4-hour movie. And they just happened to cut it up into, or maybe it was longer than that. They just happened to cut it up into episodes. So there was really no differentiation. It was written and produced to be
binged,
right? But then I think about a show, Mad Men. Did either of you watch Mad Men
ever?
Yes,
I watched the whole show.
Okay.
Did you binge it?
It's really weird what happened. So I watched the first three seasons long time ago, like around the time they came out. But then I stopped, and then I picked it up like a couple of years ago, and I watched the last few seasons, or actually rewatched the whole thing. So yeah, I ended up binging it.
So I don't think Mad Men. I watched it as it, you know, was came out every Sunday, and the thing about Mad Men is people that. So that's good that you made it through, because most people that try to binge Mad Men, I think, get bored because nothing happens.
It's a really strange show for
that
reason.
Yeah, so like if you're watching it an hour at a time once a week, you're like, huh, and you get, you know, thinking about character development and, you know, what their paths are and why they made decisions. But nothing, there's no real action for the most part.
Yeah.
It's a drama about people and characters and not so much what happens in their lives, you know. So people, I think if you binged that and watched 6 hours in a week, you'd be like, this show's boring. Nothing's happening. So, but I think those two shows are kind of written differently for their intended way of viewing, really.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, too, in your case, Joe, because you tried binging, or not binging, but just watching Breaking Bad after they'd all come out.
Right, I did. Yeah, I was binging.
And you couldn't.
Yeah, I struggled.
You couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
And I'm like, what the hell is your problem? I love this show. I think it's great. It's interesting. And you just, like, couldn't. You just, no traction for you.
No, and.
Couldn't move.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that before in my dislike of Breaking Bad, but I think that was my big part is everything was at my disposal. I had no time, you know, the Sophia syndrome. I didn't have to think about things. I didn't have to wonder because I could just click next and watch and find out what happens next. And I think that was part of the, you know, just watching everybody watch Breaking Bad when it was on, just the overwhelming, like, what is going on and how could he fall this far? And, so.
Do you guys feel like when somebody's like, hey, check out this show, it's on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and you start it, that you just get like burned out on it after like three episodes, and then like you never go back to it? Has that ever happened to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
That happens to me all the time. Somebody told me to watch that 13 Reasons Why.
Uh-huh.
I started it.
I got through six episodes in a week, and I haven't watched another, and that was like a month ago. I'm just like, just burnt out on it. And I don't.
Well, my problem with all this content is that it's too intimidating. Because the second I commit to a show, I feel like I'm going to get sucked into it. And it's like, oh my gosh, there's how many seasons or there's how many I got to get through? And there's always that person that has already seen it all.
Yeah.
And they already know it all. And so you're kind of feel behind all the time. You're like, oh, I'm never up to snuff with what's going on.
I have a terrible. Flaw in my personality that I need to finish something. I finish what I started. It's, you know, that's my number one, you know, error to potential employers.
Hey-o.
But so like I can't tell you how many books or series on Netflix or whatever that I finished that I don't like, but it just eats away at me that it's an unfinished thing. So I just plow through almost to say to myself, I have finished this series.
Don't tell me you finished Gossip Girl.
I have not.
No. Okay, that one. Come on.
I have tried to watch Gossip Girl a couple times, and I don't think I've ever gotten past maybe the first season.
On pace to. My wife likes the show and already has seen all of it, uh-huh. And she watched it back when she was like in high school. We're on pace to finish it in like 5 years, so I feel like that's appropriate. If you would actually finish it, I would have been really impressed.
Well, here's,
actually.
Here's a good example: Making a Murderer.
That was hard.
But at some point, you're like, well, I guess I have to finish it. I don't care at this point. You're about seven episodes in. You're like, I don't care.
Was like Serial, is that they got through the bulk of the content within like 60% of the show, and they're like, oh shit, we got to finish this with whatever time frame they expected.
Yeah. So I don't know. You're like, I could just Google and find out if he gets out or not, but I better finish it because I don't know. I want to say I finished it. So,
but
that's another.
But when there's a show recommended to me. And I finish it super fast. That's how I know it's good. And that was Fargo for me, Joe. That show.
You're welcome.
That show is amazing. That show.
It is.
Oh my gosh. Like, I couldn't get enough of it.
Where are you at? So you watched the first season.
And I'm two episodes into the second season.
Okay, excellent. We're not going to do spoilers because Ben hasn't seen it, and probably most of the audience hasn't either. But Fargo is probably my favorite show that's currently running. It is
really good.
Amazing.
So much gushing here. I just want to stop right now and go watch it.
You really should. You are wasting time talking on this podcast and not going and watching Fargo. In fact, I had heard the first season. So here's a show I did binge and enjoyed. Fargo, I had heard towards the end of the first season that it was amazing. People were talking really good about it. And so it came on Amazon Prime, but not streaming. You had to purchase it for $15. And being cheap, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. And so I waited. And right before the second season debuted on FX Movies, they did a marathon and showed the whole thing. So I recorded it and watched it. And then when I watched it, I felt instantly bad that I'd been so cheap not to spend $15 because it would have been totally worth it. Totally worth it. I should have purchased that first season of Fargo. It is.
He's not exaggerating. It is really that good.
I believe you, and I just want to have I'm just in the middle of shit right now, and I want to have time to actually enjoy it and not be like,
well, that's okay. Yeah, good.
We're trying to squeeze it in all the time, you know, where you're just like, oh shit, I got to get home and watch it, you know. You guys get me really excited, though.
No.
Thank you. I appreciate this.
I can't. It's unlike anything you've ever seen.
I think the closest thing to it I've seen is probably True Detective.
Yes. Yep. That's the closest thing to it.
It's an anthology series like True Detective. So each season's completely unrelated.
Or
so that's,
what?
Before we get in.
Wait, what did you just say?
Okay, I meant that it's completely on it. It's its own thing. Right?
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
You're right.
Like,
yes,
there may be
right.
connections or whatever, but like it's a new set of characters every season.
New set of new set of actors. Yeah, you're right.
So before we get into some of the shows, the specific shows, this was all primer for everybody for the back end of this episode.
Hey, I just want to pull back the curtain real quick of what's going on at my house. I have a friend that just came over unexpected, and he's just down hanging out with my wife in the front room.
You need a break?
No, heavens no. This is more important. I mean, whatever. I mean, I've either convinced her to
is this a friend I know?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We know why he's over.
Yeah, you've peed some eye but with him before, so.
Oh, I have peed some eye with
him
before.
All right, anyways, let's go on. I just thought that was funny. I can hear him slightly down there talking, hushed voices, so.
We'll get another guest on here. So let's talk about, I'm talking about Angie. Definitely don't want that other guy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about streaming platforms. We've got Netflix, we've got Hulu, we've got HBO, we've got YouTube, and there are others, I'm sure, smaller, but those I think are the biggest players. These guys are changing the game, and they're kicking ass, in my opinion, because now we don't have to deal with production bullshit from these giant studios. We don't have to deal with ABC, NBC, Fox. People that are talented, that are amazing actors, directors, producers, they're just getting thrown at with tons of money and just saying, go do this, go do that. What make that movie you wanted to make. Go make that show you wanted to make. Oh, you got that tweener. Like, it's not a big budget, but it's not a small budget. Like, okay, we can make that happen. We'll just release it direct to Netflix. This is pretty amazing for all of us, my opinion. Are you guys grateful for this direction we're taking? Or are you kind of missing that cable experience that we're moving away from?
I love what's happening. I think it's the best thing that could have happened to the entertainment industry.
Joe?
You know what? I do too. And let me tell you, I like how it's impacted storytelling, especially when everything's produced and put out at one time, like House of Cards or something. You actually get the chance, these directors, these writers, they get the chance to write the story that they want because they already have the money. So let's say, what's a good example? New Girl on Fox. Is an you know, say what it is, but it's constantly on the brink of cancellation, and so they in order to entice advertisers and try to get their ratings up. They're all over the place on what their story is. And, you know, there's love interests and there's not. And they have a wedding way too early. And then, you know, the main characters get together in season three and then they're apart in four and then they're back together. You know, and it's just all over the place because they're not really writing the story that they want to tell. They're writing the story to get excitement about the show. Oh, there's a wedding. Oh, there's a baby. Oh, there's a, you know, to get some hype about it so that people watch it, so that the advertisers will come, so that they can collect their money for the show. And then in turn, but Netflix and the other streaming platform, it's already done. I've already paid my subscription for the month. They have it.
Yeah.
Whether I watch it or I don't, it doesn't matter. It might matter, you know, for the individual studios and stuff for their next project, but they already have it. So they can say, here it is. Here's my show. We've talked about this in the past before. The difference between movies, why movies are better than TV shows, is movies know the ending. They know how the story ends, and TV shows don't. So you get this drivel-like scandal that starts off on a pretty good pace and then becomes something completely different because they don't know the ending of their story. And so they start making up, and they don't know where the characters end up. And so it's like, it's like real life.
Walking Dead is the same victim. Exactly. I mean, it's a victim to the same phenomenon because it started as we need to find a cure and we got to find a way to fix this. And you were on that ride.
Yeah.
And now it's like, what are we doing?
Well, yeah. Like, yeah, the walkers aren't even a part of the show.
It's not even an issue.
You're just
going
against people and you're like, well, I don't care anymore. So I think when this streaming, when they can produce an entire season or entire show even, you know, and they know the ending, it makes for such a better series and character development, and the story's better.
Right.
I think that is kind of a side effect of this, but it's impacted the way TV, we'll still call it TV. I mean, that's why we're in the golden age, because stories can be told. Whether they're good stories or not, it can be debated. But stories can be told the way they were intended to. Nobody's going to be canceled mid-season and leave you hanging. It's already out there.
Well, we're at that point with a silly show, The Last Man on Earth. It's on Fox.
Yep.
Will Forte. I love that guy. And he also liked one of my tweets, by the way. Mm. So, yes, I am Twitter famous. His show is on the bubble, and he's tweeting a lot. He's like, guys, seriously, watch us, please. We could get canned. Help us out. Help us out. And he is not unique. I mean, that has been the phenomenon forever. I mean, as long as television, the last 40 years, people have come on. They've run a set length, whether it's a pilot in a few episodes or gotten halfway through, and then they get canned. And you're left with, well, the network owns the rights to the show, so it's not like they can easily go out and produce it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Isn't that the rule, how it works usually? And you're kind of stuck out in limbo. Well, like you said, we can just like – get it all out.
Yeah.
Netflix, Hulu, whatever. Just get your platform, YouTube. Get it out there. Make it the way you want it to. Adam Sandler. You don't have to like Adam Sandler movies, but the guy was smart. And he read the market, and he's like, yeah, I can make the movies I want to make with my buddies and get paid for it. And release it straight to Netflix. And he's doing that. So,
and, you know, Netflix doesn't release any ratings. Even if you have your own show or movie on it, they won't tell you how many people watched. You're just up to them. A lot of that's a negotiating tactic. But they have said that Adam Sandler movies are some of their highest watched shows on Netflix. People love that bullshit.
They do. Kids. It's kids.
Yeah. Frat boys.
I mean, think about it. When you're 10 and you get to see him punching people and farting. And I mean, it's funny. It works.
Yeah.
Tay, what's your thoughts on the whole, like, the thumbs up, thumbs down, and the matching system that Netflix just released?
I feel like the ratings on streaming platforms have always been super inconsistent. Shows that have a 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb that have 1.5 stars on Hulu, I'm like, what the hell? That doesn't make any sense. So I don't know if that's just like a algorithm issue or like. Like, it's just not very accurate, the rating. But I don't like the thumbs up, thumbs down on Netflix. I think because that doesn't tell you any useful information. I mean,
all it's going to do is push another Netflix produced show to the front of your ratings.
Exactly. And I love how the Netflix produced shows are all the highest rated. Yeah. Like, it's like you're matching, you know, it's like, oh, you match up Peaky Blinders at 96% and whatever else is lower, which is their right as, you know, yeah, they're the platform.
I mean, every other network is doing that. You're not seeing an ad for Last Man on Earth on ABC. You know, they're only promoting their own shows. So.
And I am cool with that. And yeah, honestly, so as long as I don't have to watch ads, which is the biggest turnoff, obviously, for anything, having that commercial break between shows is never good. It sucks always. It never adds value to your experience.
Yep.
It pulls you out so quickly. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a ad about paper towels. Okay. That dude just got shot. Okay, it's just not a big deal. You know,
cool thing about streaming and instant access is you can jump. Someone can give you a recommendation and you can go and find it and get into it, you know,
instantly.
Yeah, instantly. Boom. You weren't like, I mean, no one in back in the day, they're like, hey, you should check out this MASH show. They're like, how long has it been on? Oh, 7 seasons. I guess I'm going to jump into the middle, you know, let's think. Oh, remember when I told you guys to watch Dear Zachary, which is a movie. It's a documentary.
Yes.
But I'm like, oh, my gosh, you guys got to go watch Dear Zachary. It's my favorite documentary. Well, you guys had access to a documentary before streaming and all that. Where would you even find it? Blockbuster wasn't going to carry a documentary. Maybe the library, maybe, but you wouldn't even put in the effort because there was no way you didn't know how to find something like that. And it's so easy to go and say, Dear Zachary, okay, let's watch this. Searching for Sugar Man. I mean, documentaries are at our fingertips. And then people start to enjoy documentaries and be like, hey, this is something I'm interested in. I kind of like this. So,
right. Yeah, and it's great because you get to see so many different types of content be created. You see these adult animation shows being made like BoJack and Archer and these things. It allows them to keep their place in the market, you know? Yeah. It's interesting. So another thing I'm interested with is Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. I don't know about Hulu, sorry. I'm going to just say Amazon, Netflix for this. They're really making a push with big budget movies. And the big blockbuster movie coming out this year is Bright, is what it's called on Netflix, starring Will Smith and Joel Egerton. And I heard they had like $80 million plus dollar budget. And it's going to be released directly to Netflix in December.
Huh.
And depending on how these movies do, that will be really interesting to see how it goes. People are always going to have a fascination with the film and going to the movie theater. But if this movie really does well, we could see more big hits start coming out directly to these platforms.
Did you hear about Scorsese? He signed with Netflix, too. His was like $90 million, I think, and it's got Robert De Niro, Al Pacino.
And Robert De Niro. Yeah,
and Joe Pesci.
What?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yes. Tell me about this one, Tay. This one's really interesting.
I don't remember the name of the movie, but it's...
Is it Heat 2? Is it Heat 2?
It's not Heat 2.
No,
it's
if a, only.
It's,
damn it.
It's a crime drama based on some old mobster or something.
Oh, wow, Pacino and De Niro are in a crime mobster movie? Yeah.
What? But tell them the thing why it's costing so much money.
Because the actors' faces, there's three stages of the movie, so they need the advanced CG technology to reproduce Robert De Niro as like a 30-year-old man, for example.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than Star Wars Rogue One did?
Yeah. The Tarkin or whatever, that dude was freaky looking. And Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Spoilers. That movie was bullshit, by the way.
It was...
We haven't...
No way, dude. Yeah, that was the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I know, I'm going to have death threats after that. But none of the Star Wars movies are great movies.
They're not.
No,
they're really not. Yeah, they're not.
No, like, I mean, these last two have been much better than the previous ones.
Wait,
as far as movie,
I think Episode 5 is the most well-made Star Wars film.
Yeah, and that's everybody's favorite. But still, if you're going to put it up against something, I mean, I don't know. It's fine. But this isn't what we're going to talk
about. It's nostalgia.
But like, there isn't much of a difference right now between my TV downstairs and the movie theater.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that used to be the big thing. So you would go watch movies because they were on the big screen. And boy, even back in the day, it was the only place with air conditioning. But I mean, you could get that full cinematic experience with surround sound. Today, there's not that much difference. So if you wanted to put it into theaters and fight with that bullshit of, you know, the companies and getting distribution rights and fighting up against, you know, the next Marvel movie and who's going to see it, or you just put it on Netflix and everybody could watch it.
Yeah.
And your opening weekend may not be as big, but weekends or weeks 3 through 7 really pick up steam and more people watch it. I mean, you really got a better chance to have more people watch your craft on these streaming platforms and immediately than trying to send it through the traditional theater route.
Well, and they're getting credibility within the industry with movies like Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
That was an Amazon produced movie, Amazon Studios.
Yep.
It was a great movie. And they didn't go through the traditional route. And if they're being taken seriously within the Academy, what does that say for the industry as a whole?
Sure.
I mean, it's interesting. What were we going to say, Tay?
I think getting your money up front is also really nice.
Oh yeah.
I mean, because a lot of
I bet.
A dollar in the hand is worth, what is it, you diamond accountants say?
Well, a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow.
There you go.
But it's. I mean, because a lot of actors, I think their pay is based off how well the movie does. I think there's a fixed amount, but then they also get, like, they might take less for, like, a percentage of, like, of sales or whatever later on. So I think it just, like Joe said, it allows people to create the stories they want to make, and they don't have to deal with the bullshit of Hollywood producers saying, we don't like this, we need you to rewrite this, this doesn't pull well with this demographic, we need you to change this. So, like,
right,
it's just less censorship, and I think that's a good thing.
You know, the one thing that hasn't been broached yet by telling the story you want to tell, and it's kind of interesting that it hasn't yet, but there's really no limitations. Even cable TV has limitations on what you can say and what you can show, and on the streaming there shouldn't be, or there isn't any limitations. So no one's done, that I'm aware of, a extremely graphic series or movie that could show what they wanted to show, say what they wanted to say. You know, even in John Wick, which we all love, you know, the bullets and the guns sound a little fake, and there's not a lot of blood really, you know, splatting. You could do as graphic as you wanted. You could do full penetration if you wanted. There's no one limiting that because
restricting that.
Yeah, and no one's kind of broached that I'm aware of. It's just kind of the same.
But doesn't HBO do that sometimes though?
I'm not
as familiar with HBO content.
Yeah, even they, you know, have limitations. So HBO can show a little bit more because you're paying for that in addition to your cable subscription. So broadcast TV has limitations because it goes out to everyone, and including children, you know, and whatever. The
right.
Cable TV, you're paying for it, so it has a little bit, you know, you understand the risks and what's going to be broadcast. And then the, you know, the premium movie channels are even one more step. And because you're paying additionally for that, they can stretch the envelope a little bit more. But with these streaming, as far as I'm aware, and I could be completely wrong, but I don't know where, I don't think the FCC is involved in that, or I think you could show whatever you wanted. I guess maybe there's not a market for it.
I'm not sure how the rating, I think it's pretty loose, and I'd say the streaming networks or companies, they kind of follow the same guidelines as HBO is what I'd say. Mm-hmm. They're very similar in like the type of content they release or the, I'd say it's kind of on par with that. I think there is a limitation because they still have a TV rating, those streaming shows. It's the TV.
It's mature
TV
Y7,
mature.
Isn't
yeah.
it?
I think there's one above TV mature. But,
you know, it may just be an ethical, you know, decision. Netflix doesn't show or doesn't put on pornography. They've made that very clear. Well, they could, but if you start to be a pornography streaming service, then how many people are like, hey, I don't want this in my house, I have kids,
right.
And they drop it. So that's a business decision based on ethics that they've had to decide. So maybe, I mean, they could be policing themselves. Who knows?
So here's a technical question for you, Joe, because you're a parent. I'm guessing your kids use Kids Netflix a lot.
They do. Yep.
And that has a set. All the content in there is obviously good for kids. Right. You could watch anything on there. It's not going to be inappropriate.
And, yeah, and in fact, it's set by their age. So you tell them what age you are, and my 5-year-old can't watch the same stuff that my 9-year-old can.
Oh, really? Yeah. Based on the account?
Yeah, so like if the 5-year-old goes, what's a good example of this? Like Zootopia may not be available in the smallest child's it's a kid's movie. It's fine. But because of, I don't know, scary scenes or whatever, they don't allow the younger kids to watch it. It's pretty intense. So.
Okay. And you can, because I was curious if you could add content or like allow content just based on like you going in and being like, okay, my oldest daughter can watch this show.
If there is a way to do that, I'm not aware. I think okay. I've only seen what they police. So
last question along the nuts and bolts of all this, like streaming stuff, it's getting to the point though, because I'm a cord cutter and I don't see the value of paying for all the cable shows, you know, the 100 channels that I'll never watch or whatever. But we're getting to the point that there's shows on all these platforms that I want to see. You know, I want to watch South Park on Hulu. I want to watch, you know, the movies on Amazon Prime. I want to watch, you know, House of Cards on Netflix. And bundling all of these streaming platforms together is about the same cost as cable. Or at least it's basically there at this point. Mm-hmm. Are we ever going to get to the point to consolidate any of this content? I mean, essentially we're buying channels when we're buying platforms, these streaming platforms now. I'm curious how net neutrality and all that is going to play out with this.
Do you want to combine it? Is the other question?
I don't know. I guess that's the thing is like, it's good that they're different because they produce different things and they have different takes and strategies and they have different content, but it's getting to the point you kind of want a little of everything, you know?
Like, I mean, if there was one streaming service that had everything on it, I mean, that would be ideal, but it's not. So, I mean, I'm taking it you don't have Hulu.
I do have access to Hulu, yeah.
I don't, because I've never seen anything on Hulu that I've needed to watch, so I just eliminate that from my cost every month. So, but I also have cable, so everything that's on cable or on Hulu, I'm watching
with a DVR.
With the DVR,
so correct. I mean, essentially, you as long as you're just forward with it and record things, you can basically capture anything.
And Comcast on Demand is actually pretty much up on what's on Hulu. I mean, with a few exceptions. So,
well, Tay, I don't know if you have the same phenomenon here, but it's like once you get into a streaming platform, whether it's Hulu or Netflix or whatever, and you start using it and watching things on it, you really can't imagine not having it again.
Yeah, I used to be kind of like you, Joe. I was like, I don't really need Hulu because everything I watch is on other things. But Hulu is so convenient, and there's so much stuff. There's so many good like TV shows that are on Hulu that aren't on Netflix. And Netflix, for example, that's how I watched Fargo was through Hulu.
Yeah.
And
Rick and Morty
too, another
Hulu.
Great show.
South Park,
Hulu.
And so like, and they even make original shows. I watched a miniseries on Hulu that was pretty good. So I think that there is value. I think you could get by with Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime, which most people have anyway. I think those are the big three.
But then HBO has the biggest
that's
shows.
Game
of Thrones is the
biggest
show right
now. Well,
the
thing about HBO is that like, I think you just do a month trial and just binge everything you want to watch once a year. That's what I do.
Get a new email account.
It's expensive. It's like $15 a month. It's like double.
You know, and HBO also is the master at telling you what you think you need to watch. So there'll be a show and you're like, holy crap, I need to watch Vampire. What's that vampire
True
show?
Blood?
True Blood.
Vampire Diaries?
True Blood.
True Blood.
True Blood. And you get on there and you're like, yes, everybody's watching this. And then you're like, wait a minute. I don't like this show. Why would I watch Game of Thrones? I'm not into dragons, you know, or something like that. They're just kind of the master of hyping up shows that you think you need to watch.
But they do have some good shows on there. I will say that.
They do. They do. That's what I'm saying. They'll get you in on one show.
They get you.
And then they kind of push you to the other show.
The Jinx alone is worth $100 a year.
Yes, it absolutely is.
All right. Well, let's do a quick speed round of some of our favorite shows by genre.
Speed round. Let's do it.
Okay.
We'll get it done. All right. Tay, your favorite TV drama.
Okay, I'm going to go on streaming. You may have missed it. The People vs. O.J. Simpson, which came out 2015. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
Especially if you're a millennial like me and were a baby during the O.J. Mm-hmm. trial. It's a great way to catch up, and you can kind of get a be a part of the phenomenon because like they do a really good job of just showing how crazy it was.
And damn, the characters looked identical
except,
to the real people.
Except O.J.
except O.J. That was the biggest one that was off. That was a great show. Excellent show. Good choice. Day, good one. Joe, what about you? Favorite drama?
Well, Fargo. But since we've already talked about that, The Americans.
Oh, is that a – you told me that one was really
it's
good.
It's really good. It's on FX. The pilot itself will get you hooked. I watched the pilot, and I was like, holy crap. We got to watch this and pull my wife in and watch the pilot again. It's really good.
Okay. All right. Americans, I'm going to get into that. Oh, you sent me a picture this week. You thought me and my wife look like the stars
you
of the
do,
show.
Yeah,
so.
You do.
Well, I'm blushing over here. You can't see it.
It was black and white. It was a black and white picture. So
yeah,
it helped.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, my favorite TV drama. This is a little bit of a stretch because I didn't have a clear choice out front. Band of Brothers.
Ooh.
I feel like Band of Brothers was so well made. I mean, it made me laugh, it made me cry, and it was real.
I thought we were doing current shows, but I'm with you on Band of Brothers was great. Fantastic.
Yeah, I just wanted to get some good shows, throw it out to some of the peeps, you know? Let them know what they could go watch. So if you're feeling a little more patriotic, want to get something more historical, go Band of Brothers.
You know what? You know what Band of Brothers did well? And we've talked about Better Call Saul, why I don't like Better Call Saul in the past, because we already know the ending of that show, and so the characters and the storytelling has to be over the top because you're not wondering what's going to happen in the end of the show. We already know. Band of Brothers, we already knew who wins the war.
Right.
So they had to go over the top on character development and getting you there, and they did it fantastic because you weren't worried about if the Allies were going to win the war. You were worried if these guys were going to make it home alive.
Right.
And they hit you in the moment so
great
much
point.
That you, even though you already know the ending, I think it's episode 8 or 9, it's late in the series,
oof.
When they find the concentration camp.
My goodness.
And they walk
yep.
in, and you're like, oh yeah, I've always known the ending. But they didn't know about the concentration camps when they were fighting. They found them later on in the process. I mean, people had said stuff, and it was out in the news. But, you know, the general population and the general army, brigadier, private, you know, whatever, they were just fighting the enemy, and they didn't know what they were doing. And so when they walk in,
they're just trying to stay alive.
When they walk into that first concentration camp and find out what they've been fighting against is just
beyond words.
Yep.
Yeah. It's worth it for that moment
Spoilers.
Alone.
If you haven't heard of World War II,
15 years spoiler right here.
Honorable mention goes to Narcos, the Netflix original.
I was gonna throw in Narcos. Narcos is amazing, yeah.
Okay,
and Black Mirror.
Mm. Yep, good.
Watch some Black Mirror. Watch some Narcos. Narcos is great acting. I heard the Spanish is bullshit, Joe. So
I haven't watched Narcos yet. It's on my list, but I haven't got around to it yet. So
the subtitles are perfect, like snappy Americanized. Mm-hmm. Dialogue, so it obviously isn't going to translate great, but the acting's amazing. It's really good. Okay, favorite dramedy. Did you guys get this category, or did you kind of?
I'd call Fargo more of a dramedy. It's kind of a black comedy drama mix, but we've already talked about that one. I'm gonna go with Better Call Saul. I think there's a lot of comedy throughout that show, so I think that's one of the best dramedies on right now.
I'm going to second you, and Joe, you're right as far as we know the ending, but they've done a great job of developing his character to make him so nuanced against the other characters in the show, which is really, really interesting for me because he's pretty one-dimensional in Breaking Bad, but in Better Call Saul, you really get to see the depth of kind of who he is. I think it's well done. What about you, Joe? Did you have one?
I do. It's a Netflix original. Well, not original. It's Netflix exclusive. Excuse me. It's Derek. It's Ricky Gervais's Derek. I know you guys have tried it.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
You didn't like
it. I couldn't do it.
Because you didn't watch it with subtitles, and the accents got you, I bet. But
probably
I got introduced to this show one night at B Dubs, if you will. Two friends were talking about it, and they said, "Oh my gosh, did you watch?" And they kind of, you know, as friends do when they talk about a show. And then one friend, he touched the other guy's shoulder, which was a weird move, and he says, "Did you?" And kind of left it at that. And the other guy's like, "I did a lot." And I was like, "Holy crap, they're talking about crying. These two men in Buffalo Wild Wings are talking about crying at a TV show. I gotta watch it." So it's very short. There's, I think, 6 or 8 episodes each season, 2 seasons and a special. And so I watched the pilot, and I kind of, you know, I kind of got a little something in my throat. It was touching.
Oh boy.
It was touching, but, you know, whatever. And at the, there's a point in the first season, it's at the end. I watched the last episode on my bed, on my laptop. Hot tears. You know when you cry so hard that they're hot?
No way.
Hot tears. I bawled. I was uncontrollably crying. I was like, holy crap, this show. So then the second season came out, and I stupidly thought I could watch another episode in McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, and I... you know, it's a stupid thinking back, but you're like, oh, he just made him a mechanical dog. Trying to not cry in front of 1,000 people. But, Derek. I really liked Derek.
Pro tip, use it with subtitles. That's what
I had to watch it with subtitles because the English accent was just too much for me to get it, but... I can do it eight
episodes. I can plow through that.
And my wife thinks I liked it because it reminds me of Bro Homie, which is an inside joke.
Oh, yeah.
But that's another story for another day. Okay.
I could see that because I did see that.
Rapid fire.
Honorable mention, Horace and Pete. Mm. It's not for everybody. It's very dark, and it has some very funny moments. I didn't love it, but it's pretty good. And if you like CK's comedy, you should probably...
It's really a play, but it is. It's on Hulu.
But it's on Hulu.
Check it out.
That when his ex-wife gives her little monologue, dude, that was pretty impressive. The writing for that. That story
so long.
So long. That was pretty good. Okay. Let's go to, and this is my strongest, most been on my brain. Your favorite animated show. And I'm gonna lead off here. My favorite animated show, it's at the moment, it's BoJack Horseman on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, it's a satire on Hollywood and people living in California and kind of in the entertainment industry. It's really funny. I find it's really funny is the way they play off the anamorphic humans as animals. It's like animals are it's really interesting the way they make it work, and there's some really great jokes with that, but it's also extremely sad. They have some low moments in that show that just hit you in the gut and just leave you gasping because it's so powerful. I don't know how they pull it off so well, but it really makes you care. And Will Arnett's really great, and Rick and Morty, and Taylor, I'm sure you're going to talk about it. So what about you? What do you think about best animated?
Well, I was actually going to say Archer, but
oh, Archer's good, too.
I can talk about Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty's on Adult Swim. It's also on Hulu, the first 2 seasons.
Have you seen it, Joe?
I just barely started this week, so I am no expert. I'm like 2-3 episodes in.
It's a super bizarre science fiction comedy show that's just hilarious. It's about a grandpa and a grandson. I think it was based off the Back to the Future dynamic.
I thought it was. I thought it was supposed to be that, like,
yeah, so it's
them.
Marty and Doc then, or whatever. So the grandpa, Rick Morty, is just a total dick to Morty.
Morty is the dumbest
character I think I've ever seen in a television show. And it's
besides his dad.
Yeah, no, he's dumber than his dad.
No, his dad's the dumbest.
Okay,
the dumbest. Jerry's the dumbest.
That show's worth it. You're going to find the burping a little annoying the first couple episodes, but he burps less and you kind of get used to it. So check that one out.
What's your gut thought so far, Joe, on that one?
No, it's good. It's good. I like it. I'm sticking with it. So
hang with it. It pays off. Yeah. It makes me think about a lot of things because it's pretty deep and it's extremely smart. So that's a good one. What about you?
First 3 seasons of Archer. I was gonna say I'm an adult. I don't watch cartoon, but first 3 seasons of Archer. But it might change. I'm giving this a chance. So Rick and Morty. So,
well, animation's cool because they can do more with it on a lower budget.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
obviously South Park, and I liked F is for Family, which is Bill Burr's show.
Check out season two this month.
It's not great. It's not I didn't great. Think it's amazing. I thought it was okay. Yeah. I thought it was okay. Just saying it's okay.
Yep.
All right. Favorite comedy not named Sunny.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. It's a HBO show, Silicon Valley. I love that show. That show is hilarious. It's a great ensemble cast. It's about a bunch of guys in Silicon Valley, Bay Area, who are starting a company, a tech company, and just the struggles that go with that. And it's just freaking funny. It's kind of like The Office, but more guy-centric, I think. So
that's one on my list. What about you, Joe?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm is fantastic. It's over. It's a done show.
I heard it's coming back.
Allegedly coming back, but I'll believe it when I see it. But it's just a seminal show for me.
Okay. Well, my favorite comedy is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, bitches. What? It was a trick question. You should have stuck with it. I actually just don't. I can't. I couldn't think of one.
What about Last Man Standing,
head.
Bro?
I like Last Man Standing. It's funny. Will Forte, I find
Last
him
Man
hilarious.
On Earth, idiot.
Last Man on Earth.
Last Man Standing's Tim Allen.
Shit. Oh, shit. That's the Last Man Standing.
Last
the
Man
show
on Earth.
I'm obsessed with
Last Man Standing.
Last Man on Earth.
What a,
Last
sorry.
Man on Earth. Taylor baited
it's
me
late,
with that one.
Kind of.
He baited me.
He bought you. He Shanghai'd me.
What, you're trying to Shanghai me? All right.
Check it out.
Check it out. Oh, okay. That might be up there. Check
is it,
it
though?
Out.
No,
that's a
it's
show
not
you
up
cannot
there.
Binge. That is a show
no, but
you
that
cannot
show's
binge.
Funny.
It is funny.
You cannot binge it, but you can watch it and it will make you
and
laugh.
And 90% of the population will not get it. So.
No, nope. That's true.
I think that's just when you work together and those inside jokes start rolling. It just perfect storm. Okay. If you have one show to recommend, one season of a show, one season, what are you recommending? I'll start. I'm giving them the first season of True Detective. That is that show. Mm-hmm, I love it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It touches all the buttons. I find it's funny. The acting is on point. The people Woody Harrelson hooks up with are the most beautiful women in the world. Everything about it is it's locked in, and it's great. Some people had some beef with how it ended. I thought it was great for an anthology. I thought it was amazing. I'm giving them True Detective season one.
Oh, Taylor, they both end like that. I'm recommending Fargo. I'm recommending Fargo season one. We've already talked about it, but Fargo's my pick.
All time. And you've seen The Sopranos. You've seen The Wire. All these shows. You're
Fargo's
them.
The best. Yeah.
Holy shit. Yep. Okay. You're pushing me over the edge here. Tay?
Sopranos got better over time, so it's really hard to jump into the middle, like season four of The Sopranos.
Oh, my favorite comedy not named Sunny, though. Arrested Development, the first two seasons and part of season three.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's good one. I forgot about that.
I'm going to go with House of Cards season one.
Whoa!
No!
What?
Objection!
But you know what? House of Cards season one was really good.
It was
but
great.
But it was tainted by the following
season. I know. I said just season one. Season one was amazing.
I heard you. You recorded this.
Good.
We know what you said, but yeah. But it's not as
good
as
Fargo. Go to
the
tape.
It's not as good as
Fargo.
Well,
I was going to say Fargo, but you took it. I watched.
Well, then double up on Fargo so people watch Fargo.
I finished season one, and I was like, that might be the best season of television I've ever watched.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my gosh. You guys, I'm going to flunk out of school. Damn. Okay.
Okay.
Well, guys, great recommendations. Hopefully the listeners found some things to go watch. If not Fargo, I think we broke the record for the most times Fargo has been said in a podcast.
It deserves it.
No way. It needs its own episode. After you watch it, we're coming back for a Fargo breakdown.
Oh, we will. We will. Joe, what do you want to do? This is my question for you. As a key contributor to our podcast, you keep us rolling. What's some directions you want to take the show on your next segments? You got any ideas right now? Anything to get the listeners excited for?
No, I think one time we should try a video podcast. Just put that up on
there.
And just so people can be completely bored at how awful we are at this. But it's pretty amazing that it all comes together and sounds like it did. So,
like a Joe Rogan-esque, film it and put it on YouTube thing?
And then, since you're going to bi-weekly, the offer still stands that if you guys can't do a week, I'd like to hear a week where some of your frequent contributors have a podcast amongst themselves. Because I don't really know the other guys. And so that might make for an interesting conversation is, people who don't know each other but know the podcast and have kind of gotten each other's quirks get on and kind of battle it out. So that might be a cool one-off for your podcast.
We'll throw that together. That sounds really interesting. Okay. I like the concept. Cool. Well, we'll definitely keep everyone in the loop. Keep listening.
Thanks for having me back.
Tell your friends. Always, you're always welcome, Joe. Yeah, if anything's on your brain, let us know. We'll make it happen.
My dream is one time you're going to be in the middle of a podcast and you're not. You're going to think, oh, Joe would say something, and you'll call me. It'll be like, we have a caller.
podcast.
We have a caller. It's Joe. And I come on and defend my kiss pick from the, or whatever. So.
Ooh. Yeah, you could get some flack. If people responded on Twitter, I think you could get some flack for that.
So.
Tay, thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Let's have a great year, too. I thought this was a fun one.
Woohoo! Yep.
Woohoo! Great. Fiscal year. Here we go. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Everybody have a great week. Hit us up on Twitter. Jump Pod. We'll talk to you later. We're out.